Well, on January 2nd, I drove to the gym, and it was several degrees below zero. And when I arrived, the parking lot was packed. I was annoyed by this because I wanted just to get in there and get out. But it was the annual go to the gym in January and not be able to get. I couldn't get my locker. Somebody took my locker. I couldn't get any of the machines I wanted. And I was frustrated by this. Because people had just made their New Year's resolutions, all the machines that I wanted were being used. So I came home after this, I used another machine, did my thing, and I said, Jenny, I really hope that this cold weather is sapping people's willpower, because I hope they quit even sooner than normal. I didn't even know any of these people. They're taking my machines and my locker, and I can't get anything done. And maybe because they have to have so much self-control on January 2nd because it's so cold and nobody goes out there usually, that they will quit sooner than usual. And lo and behold, they did. By the second week of January, it was back to the same old crowd. And the reason why, if you ever go to a gym, if you go regularly, you know this happens every year. January 2nd, people have just made their New Year's resolutions. They flock to the gym. They get serious. They maybe even buy a new outfit, new shoes, gym membership, and they're ready to go with this plan 5 times a week, 2 hours a day or whatever. It's going to be hardcore. And then a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, nothing. And by February, pretty much everybody's quit. We see it every year because this is human nature. And people, we come up with these New Year's resolutions because a new year is a new beginning and it brings new hope. The ones people maybe want to lose weight or maybe want to eat healthier, or those are some of the common ones, be better in some ways. And people start and there's new hope, but then over time it kind of goes back to normal. That's what happens. And today, as we're talking about who we want to become, that's what New Year's resolutions are, this hope of I'm going to be a better person in some way. Who do you want to be? Who is it that you want to be? You are someone right now. You didn't know that, did you? You're someone. You have a personality. You have character traits. And when different things happen, your character shows. When you're challenged, when things aren't going well, how you respond to that adversity shows something about your character. You know the different things. When nobody's watching and you think you can get away with it, it shows your character, what kind of person you are, who you are. 10 years ago, you were someone different. You had maybe a different character. Hopefully, there's something more positive about you now. Maybe you're more patient than you were back then, more disciplined in some way. But 10 years ago, if you look back at that person, if you read maybe a journal writing that you did or saw the videotape or just remembered, you'd be different in some way. So you were someone in the past. Today, you are someone. And in the future, you're going to become someone. And so who is it that you want to become? Who are you becoming? I want you to encourage you to ask that question. Where is my life heading? Who am I becoming? Some of us are drifting, maybe, or we feel like if things continue to escalate as they're going, things are going to drift out of control. Things are heading maybe in a bad place. Some of us maybe feel like we're maturing and we're growing and we're heading to a better place. And so as we look at this today, our goal and the goal of discipleship is becoming the best possible version of you. That's what discipleship is. In January, we're starting by talking about discipleship. And as we get into it, before we do, this is one thing. Really, the first message was about this kind of, but it's just something that I like to do at the beginning of the year. So I'm going to take a sideways path because I said I'd say this every week in January. And that is, I want to encourage you to choose one word for 2018. If you want to hear why, maybe go back on the podcast and listen to the first message in January. But be praying about this. Maybe you've thought about it, been praying, and haven't chosen yet, and that's fine. I know not everybody's going to choose one. There's nothing in the Bible that says you have to do this. I've just seen this be something that works better than New Year's resolutions. And it's something that you really can't fail at. Doesn't require lots of self-discipline. All it requires is being intentional. So I want to encourage you to be praying about that. And again, just listen to God. If God gives you one word, I'd go with it. If not, that's fine. But that's what we're doing. So I want to encourage you right off the bat. Choose one word that will guide you in 2018. And I'm encouraging people, if you're willing, to let me know. You could put it on your connection card, the connect card. Put it in the offering plates after the sermon. You can just tell me what it is or email me. And what I'm doing is I'm keeping a list, private list, and I'm praying for everybody who's given me their word and that particular word. And then I'm going to send out probably a note in February and just try to give some encouragement for that one word. So if you want to participate, great. Just let me know what that one word is, and I'll be praying for you, and I'll send you a message about that. So now that that's out of the road, we're going to get into Scripture. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." This is what we're using to define what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who follows Jesus. Jesus says, "Follow me." And that may seem like, how do we do that? Jesus, we can read the Bible, and in the Bible it talks about Jesus' life and his teachings, and we can read about that, or we can listen to it. We can go into a group that talks about it and then try to apply that into our lives. That's one way that we try to follow Jesus. And then another way that we have is the Holy Spirit. We believe that Jesus, when he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit, and that those who want the Spirit of God can receive, and that the Spirit will be at work in us, leading us. Now, that sounds probably really mystical to a lot of people or strange, but that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit more today. And if you have any questions, you can talk to other people, write them on your Connect card. But we believe we follow Jesus by looking at biblical teachings that record his life and teachings, and also the Holy Spirit that he gives us that will show us the way. Okay, so number one, follow me. Then he says, I will make you. A disciple is somebody who's changing, being changed by Christ. That he works in us, he loves us just as we are, takes us, but he helps bring out the best in us. He wants to work in us to bring out the best possible version of who we are, who we've been created to be. And lastly, he makes us into fishers of men. That's doing the work of Christ. He wants us to go and make a difference. So New Year's resolutions are good intentions, but the difference between discipleship is that in discipleship, we follow Jesus, and New Year's resolutions is about trying to have enough willpower to make some changes, and we follow what I think we should be doing. With New Year's resolutions, Again, that's me changing. It's me coming up with willpower. That's me trying to be more self-disciplined, me trying to be better. And in discipleship, it's about being changed, an outside force acting upon us and changing us. New Year's resolutions are usually about personal self-improvement, typically. Discipleship is about more than that. Discipleship is about something greater than ourselves and losing ourselves in a greater cause. So it is not just about me getting better in some way, but it's about us doing the work of Christ, which is a blessing to the world. Jesus, way before he even came and walked on the earth, there was a promise made to Abraham. And that promise was that his seed, which was Jesus, would bless all the families of the world. And that's what we participate in is discipleship, being a blessing, being part of something so much greater than just getting better and white-knuckling it. So, discipleship. Disciple means learner. The very word means learner. And as you see, there's the diagram that we've been trying to use. So the first week we talked about being loved as part of the discipleship process. The reason why we can love is because we're first loved. God is love, and that's we are loved before we can love others. So we first step when somebody comes or starts to follow Jesus or is investigating God is being loved. And we try to express that we're loved and that other people are loved through warm acceptance. We want to be people who are warm. We want to be people who show acceptance. We want to be people who show the love of God. Moving on, and we never grow past love. Love is always present. This isn't a 1, 2, 3, 4-step process. This is an ongoing process. Last week, we talked about belong. We all have a need to belong and connect with others. Jesus, he just didn't call his followers to be monks who just got alone and sought God and didn't think about other people. But he established a church for people to come together and belong and be a part of something greater, the greatest story ever told. So we talk about having intentional connectedness. We want to be intentional in having some relationships. And there's a few people. Jesus invested heavily in a few. He had 3 guys that he was really, really close with and 12 that he did life with for probably 3 years. And that was his plan. He invested heavily in those people, and they were the ones who started the church. So we want to be like, do things the way Jesus did, which was invest heavily in a few. We want to be intentionally connected with other parts of the body. And we can only get to know so many people so well. It'd be nice if we could go deep with everyone, but we can't. And it's not about clicks or whatever or favorites, but there's just a few people that we can really get to know and share life with. So people who know our struggles, our joys, our pains, what we're going through. So that's what we're trying to figure out how to do as a church, how to be a place where people can belong, where we have some intentional relationships, where people intentionally connect. And so that leads us to today. The next B word is become. As we said, a disciple is a learner. And this requires teachable humility. To grow, we need to learn. We need to want to learn. And we need to be humble to realize that we don't have everything figured out. That there's something for us to learn from everybody and from God. So as we're going into becoming and growing and how we maybe become the best possible versions of ourselves, that become the person that God intended us to become. We're going to look at a passage this morning that talks about the kind of character I think all of us want, the kind of character traits any of us would be thrilled to have. Paul writes in Galatians, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, for these are opposed to each other," and this is interesting, "to keep you from doing the things that you want to do." A lot of times it's our flesh that gets in the way. We talked about New Year's resolutions, right? I mean, people have such good intentions. New Year's resolutions are great intentions, how we can improve. And we start to go to the gym, or we buy a few salads, or whatever it is that we're trying to do to improve. We're going to be nicer to people or kinder, better husband, better mother, whatever it is, less temper tantrums. And we start out, right? We have good intentions, but there's something that just keeps us from becoming that person we want to become. Paul says it's the flesh. It keeps us from doing the things we really want to do. Now, do we want to lash out in anger in the moment? Yes. But overall, in our spirit, we don't want to have a temper problem. So the flesh gets in the way. It gets in our way. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemies and our own natural desires. The flesh Paul didn't use it just as something that's evil, but it's a natural desire that we have. Man, I want to do this. I want to lose 50 pounds, but I want that burrito. What's going to win? Well, my flesh wants that burrito, right? And that's the war. Jesus said to his disciples when they were sleepy in the garden, they couldn't stay awake. He said, "Pray so that you won't fall into temptation." So the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. My, oh my, isn't that true? Those of us who haven't been totally scared off of New Year's resolutions, who've already failed 100 times already, know this to be true. Man, we try and we fail. The spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So let's look into Galatians, what Paul says next. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Let's stop here to say sex is good. Silent. I was looking for a big amen. In Frankfurt, we had this amen guy named Stan, and I loved Stan because he would get me fired up. Because he'd, amen! I'll tell you, I said that once, sex is good, and Stan said, amen! It was his loudest one ever. His wife was mortified, though, so I don't recommend you doing that. But sex is good. Sex is a gift. Sex was God's idea, and we need to hopefully acknowledge that in church, that sex is good. But when the flesh is involved, sex gets us in trouble. If you've paid attention to the news in the last couple of months, or even last couple of days, if you watch what's going on, is it blatantly obvious that oftentimes sex is used in a way that has to be covered up later? People do things that feel good in the moment, but then they have to cover up or pay people or whatever it is. And we're seeing this over and over. It's a big story right now in our culture that makes this obvious. It proves Paul's point about human nature. The works of the flesh, people have good intentions a lot of times, or they have in their spirit they want to do things. That's why I swear to never do it again, or this will be the last time, or whatever. But people do what they don't intend to do. And so Paul says, this is obvious. And this is flesh. This is natural. This is what naturally happens when left to our own devices, is that sex can become something that's used in a way that's unhealthy, that's manipulative, that's coercive, that's destructive, and needs to be covered up. So that's a work of the flesh. Next in Galatians, Paul writes, the works of the flesh are idolatry and sorcery. Right here, these are a couple words that show that even in our flesh, we have these spiritual longings. We can be spiritually misguided. That's what Paul's saying here. Even being spiritual or religious people, in our flesh, we do things like idolatry. Idolatry is making a god instead of having God make us. So idolatry is one that's pretty common, where something becomes the most important thing, but it's just something that's made. And it shows our spiritual nature that we want to get it right, but our flesh messes it up. And we make a god that's something that may even be good, but it's a lesser god. Sorcery. That's a strange one for us to hear. But there's a story in Acts about a guy called Simon the Sorcerer. And Simon the Sorcerer saw what was going on with the apostles, that they had the power of the Holy Spirit that they were using to heal people. There were just incredible things happening. So Simon the Sorcerer came up with an idea. He made some money off his sorcery, and he was going to go buy the Holy Spirit. Well, that wasn't a good idea. That was not approved of. Because the Holy Spirit is not something, it's not a power that we buy or can manipulate. It's not for our own purposes to impress people or to say, look at us. And that's what sorcery can be, buying the Holy Spirit. I had a friend once invite me to a church on the north side. He just loved this church, and I remember going to like a Wednesday night service, and the pastor was this interesting guy, and he did a lot of screaming. People, he talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and he kept screaming over and over something from, I think, Psalm 103, forget not all his benefits. And then he would do something like this. He'd put his hand to his head. He'd look at people, and he would say, who wants some golf clubs? And then he'd look and probably find somebody who looked like they liked to play golf. And he'd say, I bet you want some golf clubs. And then he would take his hand and invisible, just throw him some golf. He's like, here's some golf clubs. And people were getting excited about this over imaginary golf clubs and imaginary vacations and money. And afterwards, I remember, because I'd never been in a place like that. And I remember the people just, the people just like, that was awesome. The man of God is filled with the Spirit. Now, I thought he was full of something else. And it starts with an S, too. Sorcery. What'd you think I was going to say? guys have dirty minds. Come on. That's sorcery, though. Saying, I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm going to do these, cast these spells or perform this magic or whatever. And even Christians, we can display or take our name Christian, and we can be very fleshly. We can make an idol out of something, and we can do sorcery with God somehow, where God's a power that we can call on and use at our disposal. So Paul was saying these things are not good. So let's move on in Galatians. He says these are works of the flesh: enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, and envies. And if you've been paying attention to the news, again, for the past few days, we've got a government shutdown right now. Do you think this list has anything to do with that? Right? I mean, is this what's going on? So to me, this just shows that Paul really has this grasp of human nature. What's natural with the flesh without the intervention of the Spirit is the natural fruits, immorality, religion. We take religion and do something crazy with it. We get in these fights and can't get along with people, and it becomes these ridiculous meltdowns. Then next, let's see what's next here. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. Isn't this kind of funny? Things like these, how he uses drunkenness, orgies, and I could go on and on and on. But you know what the other things are. But there's just all kinds of ways that people can do self-destructive things. And we follow our own desires or just whatever feels good or, you know, just what our own way. The byproduct can be things that are messy, things that are self-destructive. Following the flesh does not lead to what's best. That's the point all throughout Galatians here. Following the flesh doesn't lead to what's best. Paul goes on to say this after just giving that list of all the things that following the flesh produce, where it leads to. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we opened up by talking about just a normal kind of a scenario with making a New Year's resolution of working out and then failing at it. And that's not that big of a deal. That doesn't have huge consequences, relatively speaking. But now we're not just talking about things anymore. Now, this list that Paul's given is a list of sins and ways that our flesh can separate us from God. And these things are serious. He's saying, pay attention when your flesh has taken over so much that these things are just coming out of your life. Because warning, if it's heading this way, it's heading towards disaster. And it's cutting you off from becoming that best person. It's cutting you off from experiencing and inheriting the kingdom of God. So don't take the path of least resistance. Then Paul goes on, he contrasts the list of the flesh and what comes from our flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. When the Spirit of God is at work in our lives, we have freedom. We're not bound to law. We're free. But what it produces, what the Holy Spirit produces when He is at work in us, is that this list, He changes us. And this is what comes out of our lives. This is what a person who's being changed by Christ looks like, is these are the qualities. Now, these lists, like, who would not want to have these qualities coming out of their lives? Who would not want to be loving? Who would not want to be joyful? Who would not want to be at peace? Who would not want to be patient? Who would not want to be kind, good, faithful, gentle? Who would not want to have self-control? I mean, these are the things that we're hoping for when we make New Year's resolutions. And Paul's writing here that the byproduct of the Spirit changing us is this is what it looks like. He says, against such things there is no law. In other words, it's really hard to argue against this list, isn't it? I think this is something that we all want as people. We all have a nature that can really work against us, be our own worst enemy, but the Spirit of God is for us. And the Spirit of God comes into our lives and can help us become the person we want to become. Because that impatience or whatever, that's not who we want to be. That's our flesh. That lack of love or the cold-hearted person, the selfish that we are sometimes, that's not who we want to be. Our spirit's willing to be so much better, but our flesh is weak. And when we let God come in, when we let the Holy Spirit, when we follow the Spirit instead of our flesh, this is what God does in us. Paul writes, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Again, last week we talked about belonging and how we have a need to belong and be a part. We need other people for this. We need other people to help us grow and bring out the best in us. So we need that. Paul's saying that we do. He's reinforcing that again. We belong to Christ. It's not just us. It's not just me and my willpower against the world. But we belong to Christ. And then he said, if we do that, we'll crucify the flesh. So the question is, how do we crucify the flesh? Wouldn't that be nice if we could do that? This is what Paul says. And this is where we're getting our practical application from this morning. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. There's a few verses earlier, Paul talks about living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit. Here, his language is a little bit different, but it emphasizes walking behind a leader is what that verb conveys of walking by the Spirit. That we're walking behind a leader. We're trying to follow not just what we want, but there's a leader. And that leader is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God speaks to us, and we'll be talking about that in February, is how to listen to God, listening to God, hearing from God. But when we follow God, the Spirit, who wants to communicate with us way more than we even want to hear it, God does. He has His great ways. It's, through the Bible is one way, but that's not it. He can use other people. He can use circumstances. He uses all kinds of ways to speak to us. But man, when we walk by the Spirit, when we walk behind the leader, that is the way to become the best possible version of yourself. It's not through your own efforts. It's keeping in step with the Spirit. Now, this is not a magic bullet, or magic pill, silver bullet. The discipleship that Jesus talked about is a process. It's a work that happens in us over time. Paul wrote something else about the goal of discipleship. This is the goal that we have as a church for each other. Him, Jesus Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We warn everyone, please say no to the flesh. It leads to a bad thing. Please be careful. We teach everyone, say yes to the Spirit. Say yes to Christ. Do His will. It's going to pay off. Warning everyone and teaching everyone. So again, as we close out, who are you becoming? Now, if you've heard this and feel super discouraged, I'm sorry. That's not the intention at all. I know I have all kinds of areas where my willpower stinks. And probably you do too. But the intent is quite the opposite of discouragement. It's encouragement. Because the gospel is that Jesus meets us where we are. We may have spent our whole lives failing in the flesh. And Jesus will meet us where we are. And He will lead us in an amazing way. The way to becoming the best possible version of yourself is it's not natural. It's not through resolutions. It's not through your own strength. And it's not going to be because of your own greatness. It's not through a law that you live up to. The best way is by keeping in step with the Spirit. if you want to hear the Spirit, if you have a teachable and humble spirit, the Spirit of God will lead you. That's our hope. That's our faith, is that God is a God who leads us. If we keep in step with the Spirit, we become more mature in Christ, and we exude the qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we all want that. The application today is to keep in step with the Spirit and letting Him make us into the best possible version of yourself. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are holy. You are perfect in power, in love, and in purity. You made us in a way that is good, and yet our heart and our flesh can fail. Sometimes our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Sometimes we have good intentions and we try, but we just can't seem to make the change we need to make. Thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and raised, and appeared to hundreds of people who were eyewitnesses. Thank you that Jesus meets us where we are, just as we are, with grace that is enough for us. Help us to repent from our own attempts of changing and being good, and let us look to Jesus Christ to lead us, change us, and mature us. And please use us for a work far greater than ourselves. Teach us to keep in step with the Spirit so that you lead us into becoming people who exude the fruit of the Spirit. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.